out on the bull with you on CBS Sports Radio. I tell you, I can't imagine. It's been so long since I've spoken to Jared Greenberg. Jared, I can't even think of the last time I spoke to you. How long has it been, man?
I think like 18 hours.
That's right. I guess it hasn't been. Now, Jared was on my local show yesterday, and glad to have him with me here today. And a lot has changed in the 18 hours since we've spoken, Jared, because that game last night, and we'll start there before we get to the Raptors and all these other series, but that game last night between the Cavs and Pacers, I mean, the Pacers were so bad in the first half. It looked like they were trying to turn the ball over. Obviously, they were not, but it looked, that's how bad it looked. And then the Cavs just couldn't make a basket in the second half. What a comeback and a win without Oladipo even having a great game.
Yeah, and the crazy part about it, Bull, I'm sitting with one of our analytics guys last night at the Wizards-Raptors game, John Schumann, who does a great job at NBA.com with all the deep dive stat stuff. And he says, you're not going to believe this, but the Cavs defense in the playoffs, now small sample size, but the Cavs defense in the playoffs has actually been better than the Celtics defense during the regular season, which was the best defense in basketball. So the defense is not the problem. And something you and I talked about yesterday is that they don't have a formula. They don't know where they're going offensively. And obviously, you know, LeBron can take you really far. You know, it's not just like LeBron can take you so far. LeBron can take you really far. But at some point, and like Bogdanović last night, I mean, is he going down as an all-world defender? I don't know. I mean, he's pretty good. The guy hustles. The guy, you know, obviously has picked up some strategy and knows how to play. But the fact that they just don't know where else to turn and they're still trying to figure it out is something we've not seen from a LeBron team in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. And you made the point on our show yesterday about, like, you know, the Cavs have said Kevin Love's got to take over for Kyrie, essentially. Yeah. Obviously, he's a different kind of player. But then, you know, and I don't want to take him totally off the hook because he's got to demand the ball a little more. And, you know, when he was in the paint, he was getting pushed around a little bit. But ultimately, right. I mean, you can't have Kevin Love taking two shots in the entire second half.
But, Bull, that's the way it's gone.
Yeah,
Kevin Love's entire career in Cleveland. You look at his splits quarter by quarter, half by half. He's a guy that, for whatever reason, LeBron has felt obligated to get going in the first quarter and then just fades it out as the game goes. And you're right. Like, Love, there is a certain sense of, okay, he's got to step up and demand the ball. But, like, this is not, you know, Dwight Howard in Houston where you want Dwight to, you know, yell at James Harden and say, give me the damn ball, you know? Like, this is different. When LeBron James is on the court, and I'm not just putting this all on LeBron either. I mean, I think a lot goes in the coaching staff. I think a lot goes on the mix, the mismatch pieces that are out there that they're trying to figure out as they go along. But like, my point about Kevin Love is this. Whether you think he is Minnesota Kevin Love or not, my point is he is the best player with a known commodity on this roster. Mm-hmm. He's won a championship. He's an all-star this year. Sure, he's dealing with an injury. But if you're telling me you want to lean on Rodney Hood or Jordan Clarkson or whoever else, then I'm telling you that you're just taking a shot in the dark. And, yes, it may work, but it also may not work. I'm telling you, you know what you have in Kevin Love.
All that being said, with the collapse yesterday, the near collapse in Game 2, do you still think the Cavs come back and win this series or no?
Wait, we're stopping there. I mean, hasn't LeBron James already left Cleveland? I mean, this is come on.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are talking that way, certainly.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't count out LeBron just yet. We'll see. I mean, he showed up in the suits last night. We'll see what he shows up here for Game 4. I wouldn't count him out because here, listen. I mean, as great as Indiana has been. I mean, is it that you have faith in Indiana or is it that you just are counting out Cleveland? And that's what this is going to come down to. I mean, LeBron's got the ability to carry his team. And something, you know, you and I were talking about yesterday is, okay, LeBron is capable of carrying his team out of where they are now in this series. But can he do it for two straight series? Can he do it for three straight series? Can he get his team back to the NBA Finals? I don't know if he can continue to play this way and get him back there.
I agree. Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, is with us. Jared will be doing Sidelines Game 4, Raptors and Wizards on TNT tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern. Let's get to that series because, you know, obviously Toronto had a great regular season, really good games 1 and 2. A clunker yesterday, and a Wizards team that played so poorly down the stretch, you know, perceived chemistry issues between some of the better players on the team. You saw none of that yesterday. The two biggest stars of the Wizards were great last night.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of the way this season has gone. It's been a roller coaster, and you know, the first thing people in the Wizards organization will point to, and they're not wrong, is that John Wall missed 41 games this year. I would still say that, you know, with how they played with John Wall out, would they have won all of the games with him in? So doesn't it kind of counteract each other?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I think that, listen, this is not a very good basketball team, but it has talent. You know, we look at two guys in the backcourt like they have in Wall and Beal. They should be better than they are. And Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Raptors, continues to, you know, jam it down our throat that this is not what he calls a traditional eighth seed. And he's probably not wrong, but still, this is a Wizards team that you never know what you're going to get moments before tip off.
Yeah, well, we did get last night, in addition to a good Wizards win, was the teams mixing it up a little bit, getting in each other's faces. I admit I like that stuff. I know some people don't, but I like seeing that sometimes. You think that's going to carry over to the rest of the series?
I hope so. And listen, everybody to a man on both teams after the game last night kind of laughed it off, saying, no one's trying to fight, right? Like, no one's trying to fight. But I think, I don't know, whether it's just like guys being guys and that stupid cliche or whatever it is, there is something to be said about, if I push you, are you going to push me back, right? And that's something that some guys around the Raptors organization told me early before game one of the series. If they do that to us, how do we respond? And it was kind of not there in games one and two, and it worked out in the favor of the Raptors. It was present in game three, and the Raptors kind of fell backwards. They allowed that, maybe, I don't know if it necessarily those altercations affected them or whatever it was, or it was just kind of a microcosm of how the game was going. But the Raptors have some guys that are going to do that to you. Markieff Morris, you know, mainly Kelly Oubre, guys, you know, who have gotten in trouble with this stuff before. Do the Raptors have that guy, and are the Raptors going to be the ones to not only respond when the Wizards punch, but are the Raptors going to be willing to be the ones who punch first?
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting, and I think another, you know, yesterday you talked about when you were on with us and about the fact that the Raptors seem to have a different attitude this time around. But I'm curious, did you know that confidence level or that anger off the loss? Like, yesterday was their first opportunity. They took their first punch, literally, figuratively, in losing to the Wizards. How did you think, what did you make of their locker room after the loss last night?
Well, let me say this before I answer that.
Yeah.
You know how long the NBA first round playoff series takes, right? Like, if this thing were to go the full length of seven games, it would take 17 days to play. Ridiculous,
nuts.
Right?
Yeah.
Game four will be the first time in this particular series that we only have one day off between games. And I think if you're a Raptors fan, that probably works in your favor, right? Because you want to bottle that anger. You want to bottle that frustration. You want to say to yourselves, okay, listen, what happened? Now, here's where it may not work in their favor. One guy who many people may not have heard that much about, and even when I bring up his name, you're going to say, really, that guy is that important? But he is. A guy named Fred VanVleet, who's going to be a candidate for Sixth Man of the Year. He's going to get votes also for Most Improved Player of the Year in the NBA. He is a guy who's played more fourth quarter minutes for the Raptors than any other player. Fred VanVleet has scored the second most total points in the fourth quarter of games this year, only behind DeMar DeRozan. That's ahead of Kyle Lowry.
Wow.
That's ahead of other guys. He is arguably one of their most important players. He's missed games one and game three. Now, they won game three without him. Okay, fine. They lose game three without him. I'm curious if the only one day off hurt doesn't get him back because of the shoulder injury he's been dealing with and hasn't been able to get it back to 100%. But what he does, not only what he does for himself, like to score and to assist, but also he changes the dynamic of how the Raptors play. He takes Kyle Lowry off the ball and frees him up for some easier shot attempts. He's like what everybody to a man in the organization says, you know, wise, beyond his years. He's a calming influence on the team. If Fred VanVleet can't play tomorrow, that's going to be huge. But I'm curious to see how only 24 hours between games for the first time in this series impacts both teams.
We're talking with Jared Greenberg, NBA TV. We've talked Raptors, Wizards, Cavs, Pacers. Let's get to the third game from last night. Milwaukee looking to salvage their series and not fall behind 3-0, and they did just that. Great first half. Outscore Boston 58-35 in the first half, and cruise to victory. Yeah, it seemed, you know, Boston, obviously without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward, they're going to have nights where they struggle to score, and yesterday was definitely one of those. But you don't expect them to give up 116.
No, but, you know, I mean, this is kind of like who Milwaukee is, you know, again, kind of like the Wizards. And again, let me repeat something I've been saying for the last several weeks here. You know, the Wizards, the Bucks, to a certain extent, the Heat, they are where they are because they knew that they were going to make the playoffs. You know, the East was supposed to take a major step forward this year, and I'm not so sure it did. Maybe it did in the sense of, like, the first four teams, the top four teams are more competitive with LeBron, and that's how we measure everything against. But the bottom four and the rest just weren't – they kind of fell off, and whether it's injuries or whatever you want to blame it on. But the fact of the matter is, a team like Charlotte and a team like Detroit, who we felt were bona fide playoff teams, guys who have all-stars on their roster, and they couldn't be a little bit better than awful to just challenge a team like Milwaukee and push a team like Washington. That's what I think had an impact on these guys going into the playoffs, because for the last 6 weeks they knew that Detroit and Charlotte weren't capable of being a little better than awful and challenging for those last couple of spots. So I think it kind of impacted the whole mindset. And this Milwaukee team, yeah, they've got Giannis, who one day may win an MVP, one day may go to the Hall of Fame, maybe will be a top five player in this league in terms of his peers. But quite frankly, they're not there right now. So this Boston team is going to go and beat them. That's, you know, last night was, again, a microcosm of who they've been this year. They have big games, but can they put it together for back-to-back games? I don't have confidence in that.
No, I agree with you. I think Boston takes care of business as well. You mentioned the Heat there. Sixers and Heat, first game of the day today, 2:30 Eastern time. Obviously, the Sixers getting Joel Embiid back was huge. He played well, especially in the fourth quarter. You know, if that guy could ever stay healthy, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unreal, the potential still with him, huh?
It really is. And again, you know, I mean, the guy's, I don't think he's played 100 games in his career total, regular season and playoffs.
Yeah.
And listen, this latest injury, we can't lump into the rest of them, but what we can lump into is the fact that he misses a lot of games, you know, and that's, it is what it is. And for us to, you know, declare this process over and a success, I think is a bit silly. It's short-sighted. It's the reason why they did this whole teardown and ridiculous rebuild was to get to a place where they are a sustained championship contender year in and year out. And are they trending toward that direction? Absolutely. But there's so many things that have to fall into place. You know, and again, this Miami team is not very good. I think that they're extremely well coached. We want to give all those cliches. They play hard. You know, they're going to play tough defensively. But, okay, let's really go out and do a little more before we say that this whole thing is, you know, complete.
Agreed. Jared, let's talk about the only Western Conference series that is still up for grabs, and that's, or at least on the surface, and that's the Thunder and the Jazz, which is the last game tonight. That's 1-1. Yeah. The series goes to Utah. These two teams finished the season with the same record, 48-34. Who do you like in this series?
I am so torn on this. I mean, you know, everything that history tells you about how the playoffs are won, especially recent history with how the game has changed and become so offensive-minded. Anybody who tells you defense wins championships anymore is wrong in the NBA. It's just not how it happens. You have to be able to outscore your opponent. You have to be able to get late clutch buckets because the best offense beats the best defense in basketball. So what's going to happen here when we've got an incredibly talented team in OKC with Russell Westbrook and Paul George and a guy like Steven Adams, who I think is incredibly underutilized. He is incredibly talented, one of the best centers in our league, against a team like Utah, who's so dug in with their defensive principles, but yet has a guy burst onto the scene like Donovan Mitchell, who, go back to the phrase I used earlier, unknown commodity. Like,
right.
Donovan Mitchell's done it a lot in the regular season, but rookies aren't supposed to be this good in the playoffs. They're not supposed to have those moments yet, and yet he is. I am so torn on this series. I don't know who you give the edge to. I really don't, because OKC continues to disappoint. I mean, they have the talent. I thought coming into the year to be the second-best team in the Western Conference. I thought they would be behind the Warriors. I obviously didn't see how good Houston was going to be. But I feel like you can't – it's not a safe bet if you're going to place money on the Thunder these days.
Yeah, I agree. Jared, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining me.
You got it, Paul. Appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah,
right?
You too. Jared Greenberg.